Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Praise the Lord. Have you already sensed His presence?
Yep.
Huh? You ought to walk in the door with His presence. Huh? You ought to come ready. Don't come. I know some weeks we have to come and we're just trying to grab hold of something. How many know what I'm talking about? I need some help. And some weeks we come in like that. But you know, more weeks than that, we ought to come in here full of the Holy Ghost. Just say, hey, come on, Lord, just jump all over everybody I see. Just jump all over us. Come in expecting. Boy, y'all look like you're expecting. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Say, wake up!
Wake up!
How many of y'all here today? Okay, I see a few of you stayed home. So. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see you. I didn't get around to seeing everybody, so if I didn't get my hug, make sure to get it after service here. Didn't even get over to this spot over here. Marie, don't you be trying to run off without giving me a hug today. Praise God. How many ready to get something from the Lord?
Amen.
Hmm? I'm going to start off in Ephesians chapter 3, I believe. Oh, praise the Lord. I've just enjoyed the presence of the Lord so much this week that I guess I'm just going to have to start talking and just let some of it get on you. But I just had that phrase ever since this morning. God just told me this morning, He said, I'm all over you. I'm all in you. I'm all over you. And I want to use you. And I want to go through you. And I want to get all over and get all in everybody that you get around. And I said, that sounds like a deal to me. Well, four of us will get it anyway. Hallelujah. Well, that's okay. You don't have to be excited yet. But maybe you'll get excited before we get done here. All because we got a good God. And we serve a good God. I said we serve a good God. He's a big God. And it's like Greg was saying a while ago, what are you expecting? Whatever you're expecting is probably what you'll get. So I just started, I'm starting to expect good things and big things. And I got a big God and a powerful God. And He wants to do for me. And He wants to bless me. And He wants to bless you. Ephesians 3:20, I use this a lot. We've been there a lot, but it says, now to Him. Now we're going to give glory to Him. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in Him, to Him be the glory. So let's just start off. Father, right now we give You the glory. Right now, we just praise You. Right now, God, we thank You that You're the God that loves us. You're the God that cares about us. You're the God that wants to bless us and not just bless our need. You want to bless us exceedingly, abundantly, above our need, God. You want to do something bigger in our lives than we ever dreamed You could or that we ever thought about asking You to do. And You want to do big things. And so right now, Holy Spirit, I just ask that You use me to share some of Daddy's heart for His people today. Woo, glory to God. Man, y'all are so pretty. Some of you don't know it yet because you're sitting there with those scowls on your face. And you know, if you keep all that wrinkle there long enough, it'll make you all wrinkled up. And your forehead, it's harder to get that off. If you'd be trying wrinkle cream and everything, and it won't work because you got to smile. God, smile. What somebody say? It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile, you know. But how come we're not in the habit of smiling, man? We're living for the King. We're serving the King. We got a God that wants to do abundantly above anything we can ask or think. We got a God that loves us. We got a God that cares for us. Man, we got a Savior that gave everything for us. We got a Savior that paid the price for us. Hallelujah! I think I'll just get excited. And if you don't get excited, that's okay. I'll get excited for you. How about that? Paul's talking about here. He's saying, hey, he's praying here, and he's talking. He's saying, hey, what he's saying, he says, I'm hoping that he'll grant you, that God will give you, that he'll grant you according to the riches of his glory. How many think God's rich? Huh? How many think God needs anything? Can you think he's hurting or anything? He says, the riches of his glory, and to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, with the width and the length and the depth and the height, what is the width, the length, and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. It's more than anything you can think. That's how much he loves you. It's more than anything you can believe. That's how much he loves you. And I want you to get the message here. He said, because he's able to do the things in our life that are more than we ever desired, more than we ever asked for, more than we've ever even thought of, because of a power that's working in us. What's he talking about? He's talking about, I'm hoping you'll get the knowledge. I'm hoping you'll get a revelation of God's love for you. You see, Galatians 6:5 says, faith works by love, through love. And when you begin to get a picture, I know we're supposed to walk in love and we're supposed to love each other, and we're all working on that. And how many know some people are just more lovable than others? And we're all working on that, and we're all working on that. But man, he's talking about, I want you to know how much I love you. Because when that revelation starts coming inside of me, how much he loves me, I don't have any trouble loving you. It changes my life. Changes my life. Now, I didn't just come up here to rant and rave today, but man, I'm telling you what, man, I've messed myself up this week. I've been listening to Kenneth Copeland's channel there for a few days, and I'm telling you what, man, just got me full, and so I just got to let some of it run out, if that's okay with you. And you ought to get so full of the Holy Ghost, you ought to get so full of the Word of God, you ought to get so full of His presence and His power that everybody you get around, it just rubs out, it just rubs on them and gets on them. And everybody, when you leave a group of people, they ought to go, my goodness, what in the world happened to them? What is going on? They ought to see a difference in us. Well, faith. Faith. I just want to talk exceedingly abundantly more. I want you to get that in your head. I'm gonna go to John 6 in a minute, but I'm gonna put a few scripture on the screen, but I'm gonna read you a few scriptures if that's okay with you, and because I want you to be more paying attention to what I'm saying, what God's saying to you through what I say, than you are about trying to keep up with stuff on the screen. You ought to jot down the verses. If I happen to say one that sounds good, you ought to jot it down so you can look at it later. Whew, I take a breath here. I done hit the apex before I got started here. Talking about his love. Oh, man, you know, you say, listen, I'm telling you why. We get the faith of God. We get the love of God. There's nothing can stop us. There's nothing. There's nothing that the enemy can do that'll get us. What am I doing here? Let me look at Romans here. And if you don't mind, if I'm a little scattered here first, I'm just trying to hear. And if you'd smile, it'd help me a little bit, you know. Everybody just say praise the Lord again. Praise the Lord. Now just say it inside. Because if you just say it inside, it'll change the way your face looks. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Isn't Jesus good? Amen. Isn't he good? Paul's talking about love in Romans chapter 8. And I just thought about this a while ago. And Gosh, he's talking about here about sonship. He's talking about freedom from sin and sonship. And he goes into talking about the Holy Spirit in us and knows how to pray what we need when we don't even know what to pray. And he's praying the Father's will for our life and goes on. But in verse 31, he said, "And then we shall say to these things." Well, before I read that, let me tell you what got me thinking. A while back, I was reading about Solomon. And I was reading about the temple. And I was reading about all the wealth that it took to build the temple. And I mean, these folks, they were bringing, of course, David, all his time, he had stockpiled stuff to build this temple. And then they started bringing the best timbers, and they started bringing the best of everything. And they brought all the jewels and gems, and they brought silver and gold. And matter of fact, there was so much gold that silver just got to be like it just wasn't much. How many'd like to have a bunch of silver, you know? But there was so much gold, and I got to thinking back in the 80s, God told me, he said, one day, he said, I was down in Arkansas, he said, I want you to start buying silver, and I said, well, okay, and so I started looking into silver futures, and then he said, no, I didn't tell you to buy paper, I told you to buy silver. And I said, oh, okay, and there's nothing wrong with futures and stock market and commodities market and all that, nothing wrong with that. But he said, I didn't tell you to buy paper, I told you to buy gold. And I said, okay, well, I don't have a clue where to buy gold. And so I said, well, I'm just going to go back to Joplin and see if I can figure out how to buy gold. And I just told God, or silver, and I told God I would. And so I came back, and I didn't know what to do. And everybody here was buying paper. They were buying futures, and they were buying things. And I thought, well, you know, I know God, you've told me here. And so I'm ready to start. And I started buying some silver. I met a guy named Robert Russo. He lives over in Carthage. He had a little place right across the street. And I started buying some silver. And he said, I bought a little bit the first time. And he said, here, I got some Engelhart bars, and I'd come back every few weeks, and he'd say, hey, I got something, and he'd say, I got a 100-ounce Engelhart bar here, and I'd buy a 100-ounce bar, and then he'd say, I got these 5 ounces, and these 4 ounces, and this thing just went on and on for 4 or 5 months, 6 months, and I started buying these little things that looked like silver dollars, little ounces of silver, and I just kept doing it. I mean, God said do it, so I kept doing it, and after about 5-6 months, I had over 300 pounds of silver. And I don't know. You know, I just, when I was reading that story, I just got to thinking they had so much gold that the silver didn't, you know, it just didn't even amount to nothing. But I'm going to tell you what, that silver felt pretty good to have it, huh? I mean, how many would like to have a couple hundred pounds of it now? And so anyway, I was buying it, and I looked down. I wasn't counting it. I wasn't calculating. I just looked down. All of a sudden, I had that much. And all it did was God put something in my heart, and I said, okay. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what to do. He said, but I said, okay, and he started making it happen. Well, then after about a year or so, I came back here, and I still had all this silver, and I had bags of 90%, and I had all every kind of bar you could think, and man, I knew all the big words like Engelhart and all that stuff, and I was cool, you know. But God said, now start selling it, sell it. Well, I didn't know how to sell it. I didn't know anybody to sell it to. I didn't know what to do. And I said, well, okay, I'll do it. And when I said, okay, I'll do it, within 2 days, a guy came in and said, hey, said, do you know where a guy could buy some silver? And I said, yeah. Matter of fact, I do. And he bought some. Then somebody else came, said, I want to buy some silver, but I don't want to buy any bars. I just want to buy some coins. And I said, well, I just happen to have some. Another guy said, well, I don't want any 90%. I just want some bars. I said, oh, I got the, well, here, I just happen to have one. And long story short, God told me to buy that, and I bought all this at $4 or $5 an ounce. And I don't know, you remember in the 80s that went up $20 an ounce? Remember that? Anybody here live in the 80s?
Yeah.
Okay. And I didn't mean to get hung up on this story here, but I didn't sell it when it was $20 an ounce, you know, because that greed in us, that thing in us, you know, well, I'm just going to hold on a little longer, and it started coming down, but I did sell it somewhere in the middle and doubled and tripled my money, and I thought, God, you're pretty neat. You're pretty neat the way you do things. And I look back on it, and he said, well, all you had to do was just say yes when I told you that and be willing to do it, and then let me show you how to do it. You see, he wants to bless you exceedingly abundantly above everything you can ask or think. Romans chapter 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? Oh, and I love verse 32 because he said, he who didn't spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everybody say all things.
All things.
That's pretty neat. Goes on here saying nothing's going to separate you from the love of God. I just thought of another one here. I want to look over at John for just a second. Y'all got a minute, don't you?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay. Just look over here for a minute. And in verse 12 and through 14, we always read these a lot. And it says, most assuredly, this is Jesus talking. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to my Father. Do you understand the gist of that? He said, you'll be able to do the works that I did. Do you understand when he was here, he operated under the old covenant. Everything he did was under the power of the old covenant. He's getting ready to go to the cross and pay a price and go to hell and raise from the dead to give us victory and everything. He's getting ready to pay the price so we can live in the new covenant. The better covenant. Well, I don't know if he was hanging around with Jesus then. That was a pretty good deal. But now you'll be able to do greater things. Everybody say greater things. Okay. And he goes on in verse 13 and says, and whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Everybody say something. Whatever you ask.
Whatever you ask.
Whatever.
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 Well, now if I just don't want to ask it, whatever. This Jesus talking, whatever. He knows what he's fixing to go through to pay a price for whatever. Now, I'm just working on your thinking a little bit today. Because the Bible says, as you think in your heart, that's the way you be. And I just thought it was amazing when Greg started there, because the Holy Spirit's already got his hand on this thing. And somebody's going to see something different by the time you walk out of here today. He goes on and says, if you ask anything in my name. Everybody say anything.
Anything.
Well, now I just don't know if I ought to ask for that. Everybody say anything again.
Anything.
Is what you're needing or what you're wanting, is that under the classification of anything?
Amen.
That we've got the right category?
Amen.
Anything? Okay. I just thought that's pretty neat. 20 in verse 20, he says, and in that day you'll know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he that has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How'd you just like to have Jesus manifest himself for you today? Huh? Oh, but I don't deserve it, and I don't want it. I know, but that's why. I'm just telling you today, if you don't have all your T's crossed and you don't have all your I's dotted and you don't know all the faith formulas, if you'll just let the Holy Spirit, he'll turn you and set you free. He'll turn you loose today, and you'll find out that you can have exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or think. He doesn't just want to fill your needs. He wants to exceed your needs. Now, I know, listen, this is hard for a religious mind to handle. Okay? But we're living way below what God intended us to live.
Amen.
I said we. I didn't say you. Because I know some of you are a lot smarter than me. And you got, I'm going to manifest myself to you. Well, do you love him?
Yeah.
Now, don't get all hung up there, because I don't keep all the commandments. I don't keep all 600 and some of them either. But you know what? Let me put it where you can understand it. He says, if you just live for me, if you just live for me, if you just come after me with all your heart, I'll know you love me. And the Father will love you, and I'll love you, and I'll manifest myself for you. See, you need him to manifest himself in your finances. You need him to manifest himself on your job, in your business. You need him to manifest himself. Okay? Well, let's see, am I done here? No. Let's look at 15 here. 15. Oh, there's a good one. 7 and 8 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask whatever you desire and it'll be done for you. Everybody say, ask for whatever you desire. Now, I know that bugs some people. Don't make me keep talking. Hey, but you need to get used to saying this stuff. Amen. You need to quit faking it and start saying it. Amen. You're saying everything that the news channel tells you. You're saying everything that the internet tells you. You need to start saying some of the things that God's Word's telling you. Amen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. Listen to this. By this, my Father is glorified. Amen. That you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciple. You understand the fruit he's talking about there? The fruit he's talking about is you asking for the things you desire, and he's able to come into your life and do those things. And then what happens when he comes into your life and does something? The joy of the Lord begins to fill you, and it becomes strength, and you begin to realize that God isn't mad at you. He doesn't hate you. You are important to him, and you begin to realize how much he loves you when he does those big things in your life and those things you desire, that you can live without it. If it didn't happen, you could live without it. But those things happen, and you just go, wow, and you just get so full of God and so full of the Holy Ghost that it just gets on everybody you get around.
Amen.
Well, here's one. Here's some in 16. You ought to just spend some time this week in John 14, 15, and 16. Amen. And then get on over in 17 if you want to. Is that all right? We're in Missouri. Is it okay if you want to? Verse 13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all the truth. He'll not speak of his own authority, but he'll speak whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come, and he'll glorify me, and he'll take what is mine and declare it to you. Take what's Jesus and give it to us. And the things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said he will take what's mine and declare it to you.
Amen.
Are you hearing what he's saying there?
Amen.
He said, everything I got is yours.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into that truth. I mean, he'll show you how to buy silver. He'll show you how to get that promotion on the job. He'll show you how to make your business go. He'll show you where the devourer's sucking it out. He'll lead you and guide you into all of the truth that God has for you. And will that ruin you? No, that'll just make you stronger for the Lord. That'll just make you a stronger witness. That'll just make you more powerful. You'll have more confidence and faith in your God. And when your day of judgment comes, you'll be able to stand and look the enemy in the eye and say, no, not going for that anymore, big boy.
Amen.
I got the real big boy in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Is it okay? I'm just trying to build your faith a little bit today. I'm not telling you anything that most of you don't know, but we're spending more time telling and talking about and thinking about what Fox News told us than we are about what God's told us. This last day, he'll take what's mine and give it to you. And here's how deep that is. Everything Father has is mine, so he'll take what's mine and give it to you.
Amen.
Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying you have access to everything God has.
Amen.
Huh? Now, you'll know how big that is in a minute if I get that far.
Amen.
Well, anyway, where are we at? 23 and 20. It says, and in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Everybody say, whatever I ask. Until now you've asked nothing in my name, but ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. When you ask God for something, when he blesses you, do you get depressed or does joy get full? Huh? I mean, when you ask God to bless you financially and all of a sudden the boss comes up to you and says, hey, I want you to work some extra hours here, and you look and that's just the amount you ask him for. You ask him, and then sometimes when you're doing everything you know to do and he just comes and he just gives it to you another way. Whatever you ask the Father. He says, up till now you haven't had to ask me. You know, up till now I've been doing your praying for you. That's what he says on down here. He says, in that day you'll ask in my name, and I do not say that I will pray to the Father for you, but the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. You understand? He said, now I won't have to do this for you anymore. I won't have to go to Daddy for you anymore. You're going to have direct access to him if you want him. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's quit there because I want to get into John 6 here. Because I saw a few things there that I didn't ever see before. And there's a lot of lessons in all these scriptures. And so don't take what I say about anything as being the only lesson or the only truth. Because there's so much truth in this word that if you keep reading the same verse for the next 40 years, 40 years from now you'll read the same word, the same verse, and you'll get new revelation on what it means. Because God's word's pregnant. It's constantly giving birth to new revelation. Woo! Come on, Holy Spirit, I want some more. Everybody say, Holy Spirit, I want some more. I'll keep going. We'll all get awakened here in a few minutes. But I want to just read you a few verses out of John 6. In John 6, 5, Jesus said this. It says, Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing the great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that all these people can eat? So all these people can eat. And then in verse 6 it says, but he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, you know, I don't really like the word test there, but it's okay if you like to be tested by God. But you know, it was more he said this to locate where Philip's faith was. Huh? To locate where their faith was. He said this just so he could find out where their faith were, so he could take them to the next level. And you know what? It's okay to be right where you are. It's okay to have just the faith that you've got, but ask God to take you to the next level. And the Holy Spirit's constantly doing that in your life. Anyway. Philip answered him, and this is what Philip said. Jesus said, what are we going to do with all these people? And Philip said in verse 7, he said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have just a little. Before you get all this, Jesus doesn't want us to have anything, and the apostles were broke and all that stuff. The 200 denarii, however you say that, if I calculated it anywhere close, it's almost $15,000. How many in here, if you had $15,000 right now, you think you could do something today? Huh? Is that all? Well, they're the only ones going to get it, the ones that raise it. How many think if you had $15,000, you could do something?
Amen.
Oh, got a lot more hands that time, huh? I just had to throw that in because they weren't broke. They had some money.
Yep.
But do you see what I want you to notice where their mentality was? What Philip's saying, he said, the most, the very most I can imagine, the biggest I can stretch this is if we'd take this $15,000 we got and buy bread, and then we'd have enough just to give everybody a little bit. We got too many Christians living on a little bit. Now listen, if you're living on a little bit, don't worry about it. Don't feel bad about it. Don't beat yourself up about it, because you're the one that God wants to be glorified through. You're the one that He wants to take your little bit and spread it and multiply it into more than you ever imagined. See, He wants to prove Himself strong in your life, so when it's all said and done, you can say, it wasn't me, it was all Jesus. Their mentality, the wildest thing we could imagine, the biggest thing we could ever think or imagine is that we could buy something and give all the people just a little bit. Amen. And you know the story. They brought the little boy with five pieces of bread and two fish. And verse 11 says, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting around, and likewise the fish." Let me read that again. Jesus took the loaves. When He had given thanks, He distributed them to the disciples. He distributed them to the disciples. Then the disciples took them, and they started distributing them to the people. I never saw this phrase in here before. Now He's breaking this bread and He's breaking this fish and He's giving it to the disciples and it's multiplying. You with me? Yeah. How many ever had God multiply something for you? Yeah. How many ever had Him stretch your money further than you thought it could go? Yeah. How many ever had Him do something big? You was worrying about how you was going to do it and how you was going to pay for it, and all of a sudden it just ended up done and you still don't know how it happened, huh? Now listen to this, and the disciples started distributing to those that were sitting down, and likewise the fish. I never saw this as many times as I read, as much as they wanted. He's given the food. He's given as much as you. Here, you want some more? Oh, you want some more? You want some more? Are you with me? Yeah. Okay, stay with me. And verse 12 says, this never dawned on me. I'm sorry, maybe I'm a little slower than you, but verse 12 says, so when they were filled, He said to His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing will be lost. And verse 13 says, they gathered them up and they filled 12 baskets full of fragments of fish and barley loaves. And they were left over after everybody had eaten. You got this. Now, see, our Christian mentality is I don't need a lot. I just want to get by. And we think that's humble. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not putting anybody down, please. I'm just trying to increase your faith. Jesus was trying to increase their faith. He says, what are we going to do? Amen. Philip says, I don't know, man. If we take every bit of resources we have, if we take everything we have and do everything in our natural power, everybody's just going to get a little bit. And Jesus said, okay, you're right, but now let me show you. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being where you are. Just want to go to the next place.
Amen. Come on.
I love the story. You want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus.
Amen.
He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
You want to know what He's like? You want to know what God thinks about your life and your situation? Look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? When there was a great need of 5,000 men, that's 5,000 men plus women and children. So if every guy had a wife, and I'm sure not everyone did, but probably some of them had two or three. And if everybody had two kids, which I'm sure not everybody had two kids, but there was some Joneses and some Jennings in the bunch, you know. We got 80, 83 kids, you know. And So you understand the magnitude. We got an opportunity here to be feeding at least 20,000 people, and he says, I just love that story, man. Their mentality was, if I do everything I can do, if I take everything I got, if I do all my efforts, all I can do, this is what I can get done. And God, and Jesus says, yeah, you're right, but now let me show you what I can get done.
Amen.
We could buy all this bread and then we would have enough to give everybody just a little bit. That's how we think. Now, if you're smart, you won't get mad at me for telling you some of this stuff. If you're smart, you'll say, God, if you don't understand some of this stuff, you say, God, hold it. Do I need to be thinking something different than I'm thinking? And you take, don't ever let some man or some woman, don't let some person lead you and guide you in your spiritual walk with God. I mean, let us lead you and guide you. I'm a gift. I'm the pastor. I'm a gift. I'm supposed to lead you and guide you. I'm supposed to throw some seed out there for you to grab a hold of, but not everything I throw out there is for you. You got to have your own relationship with Jesus, your own relationship with God. That's what this thing's all about. I'm sending my Spirit to live in you, and He'll lead you and guide you, and you have access to everything Daddy has, everything He knows. Folks, and they didn't eat just enough to get by. Jesus, the Son of God, He didn't think little. The Bible says He blessed the fish and the loaves and began to multiply, and He fed all the thousands and thousands of people. It says He gave them as much as they wanted. They ate till, one translation says, they ate till they were full. Have you ever been hungry? How many's ever been real hungry? Like you are now, and you wish I'd get done so you'd go eat lunch? If you get with me, I'll get done here real quick. But you've been real hungry. How many of you ever been real hungry and you come up on some food? A big old spread of food and you go, oh, I'll just take a little bit. No, probably before you even think, yeah, I'm doing this. And you go, oh, God, forgive me for gluttony, but I'm hungry. Huh? I want you to get the picture of this. Gave them as much as they wanted. Here, you want some more? When He blesses you, you ought to say, if you listen, He says, you want some more? Say, yeah, I'll take all you want to give me. Just keep it coming. Come on. This is hard on religious minds. When I think religiously, this bothers me. Okay? But when I think faith, this excites me. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know why? Because He wants to be glorified in your life. He wants to be the supply of every need. He wants to take care of every area of your life. He wants to help you with everything that hurts. He wants to help you with everything you need. And then He wants to give you some more. He wants you to have 12 baskets full left over afterwards. So can't you see them all sitting there with their bellies sticking out and they're burping? And man, they've ate so much, now they want to take a nap, and He's gathering up and there's still 12 baskets full left over. A lot of lessons in this, but just hear this for today, okay? It was one of those kind of meals where they were feeling, oh, I can't take it. I mean, no, Thanksgiving or Christmas and, about the middle after you go, oh God, I don't even like food anymore. I'm full. You got the picture.
Amen.
See, God didn't just meet their need. He didn't just feed the 5,000 plus. He didn't just feed thousands and thousands and feed them and give them all they want and feed them till they were so full they couldn't eat anymore. He didn't just do that. There was still some excess. Because we got a God that doesn't run out. We got a God that doesn't run out. I started telling you that a while ago. I was talking about Solomon and I was thinking about it, and I said, God, all this excess, all this, my goodness, God, you know why? You know, all this excess, all this money, and I'm thinking, and God just some little voice inside of me said, you think I'm gonna run out? And I went, well, since you put it that way. He said, do you think you can ask me for anything? He said, do you think you can put a demand on me for anything that'll break me? Do you think you can ask for anything so big that if I give it to you, I won't have any left? It just made me start examining. I said, well, God, but, you know, he said, yeah, but. That's why you're in trouble. You're a goat and not a sheep. You're butting all the time. And so he says, you know, what are you thinking? What are you believing for? Well, God, I'm just believing that you'd bless my people. I'm just believing you to bless the church. We want to move forward. I'm just believing. He said, no, what are you believing me for? And I had to examine myself, and I had to say, you know, God, I don't know. Somewhere along the line, I think I quit challenging you. I quit challenging my faith. I quit. You know, I used to, all the time I've been saved, I believed first for spiritual things. I believed, God, I want to be closer to you than I've ever been before. I want you to reveal yourself to me. I want to know more about you. I want to walk closer to you. That was my first thing I used my faith for. But I would always keep something in the natural that I was believing him for. I want to be able to feed my little boys. I want them to have the good tennis shoes. I want to be able to feed them good. I want to be able to send them through school. I want to be able to send. You understand what I'm saying? And I always had physical things also. Amen. God's not bothered by you believing for some physical, material things. Amen. Matter of fact, He would like for some of us to get some of those material things that the devil's crowd's using to promote Antichrist and get us with some of that stuff so we could promote Christ. Amen. Well, there's another story, and I'm running out of time here. Maybe this will have a part two, I guess. I don't know. There's another story in John 21. You know the story. Jesus has been, he's already been to the cross. He's been into hell. He's raised from the dead. He's been to heaven. He put his blood on the mercy seat. Then he came back and spent about 40 days walking through the earth, visiting the people, telling them, talking to them. And this is in that period of time. And he walks up, and, you know, Peter's all discouraged. He's failed the Lord. He's not worthy anymore. He's no good anymore. And he's all worthy. And he just says, I'm just going fishing. And so, you know, John, James, the ones with him, you know, they said, we're going too. If you're going, we're going. So they go out and they're fishing. They fished all night. And they're out there fishing, and they hadn't caught nothing. And they weren't real far off the shore. They were just out there a little ways, but they hadn't caught nothing. And somebody on the bank yells at them and says, hey, you guys got any fish? Can't do that. I cover up my mic when I do that. You got any fish? Are you catching anything? And he says, no, we've toiled all night and haven't caught anything. He said, well, throw your net on the other side. And you know the story. They threw their net on the other side. There were so many fish that they couldn't even get the nets up. If you read the story, and when that happened, Peter, now he's a commercial fisherman. When that happened, John's sitting there, and you know it's John because John's writing the story, and he says the one that Jesus loved. He always called himself the one that Jesus loved. Wasn't no problem with his confidence, huh? He knew Jesus loved him. I don't know everybody ought to say that since I just said that. I'm the one Jesus loves. Now I know he loves you, but he really loves me. And the one that Jesus loves told Peter, says, that's the Lord. Well, man, Peter throws his shirt on and jumps into the water and gets over there. He's a commercial fisherman. There's all these fish that they can't even, got so many they can't hardly get the nets up. The nets are about to break. And you know, that's money in the bank for him. But he says, oh, man, if that's Jesus, I got to get to him. Okay, so now get the picture. They're bringing all these fish in. They got these nets full of nets to bring. Matter of fact, if you read the story, there's two boats out there and taking two boats to pull these nets in. There's so many fish. And they get there, and Jesus is standing there, and he's already got some other fish on the fire. I never saw this. He's already got some bread and some other fish on the fire. Now, you know, logical, natural thinking, we think, well, now let's wait till we get these fish in here and we'll get some of them and cook them and everybody can eat. they got in with this. I want you to understand how much God blessed them. An abundance of fish. They come in with all these fish. They can't hardly carry them. They're trying to drag the nets. The nets are breaking. They get all these fish up on the shore, and Jesus already has some other fish he's cooking for them. And he says, go ahead and bring some of the fish you caught. We'll cook them too. Oh, do you see the heart of God? The heart of God says, hey, I'll not only bless you, I'll not only open up the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, there's so much you can't receive it all. I want to do that so bad for you. I'll not only do that, but after I've done that, I still got some more. There's still some more fish. There wasn't a shortage of fish, but excess. God had some more fish. I thought, oh my God. How are we living? Do you think God's lacking? See, now if you're not careful, the flesh will make you buck up here because you got to defend yourself.
I got faith. I believe God.
If something's not working for you exactly the way somebody says, you'll buck up here. You'll swell up inside like an old, you swell up like old toad. Ever see old toad swell up? Yeah. No, don't do that, because God's never condemning you. And it doesn't matter if you don't ever have anything. If you got Him, you got everything. Okay, so this isn't a thing who can be the richest, who can be the most blessed. This is just a thing for you to let God come into your life just where you are. Does that make sense? Just where you are. Don't worry about where Donald Trump's at. Maybe you're not supposed to be where Donald Trump's at. Well, that'd be fun for a while. You say whatever you want, but just give me a couple billion and I'll tell you after a few years if it's fun or not, okay? See, that's really, well, that's a religious, that's the way I think when I think really, well, I listen to all the stories about Creflo buying a plane and all this stuff and hitting the news media and all that stuff and wanting to believe in for a plane and preachers were canceling him. They wouldn't let him come to their services anymore because the news media was saying all this, the world, the natural thinking was saying all this stuff. And I liked his reply. He said, well, should I not believe God for big things? Amen. Are you telling me I can't use my faith? See, now I'm not just telling this from the winning side here, because I sit down and listen to Keith. Well, he's got a big plane project going, and I listened to him, and I thought, you believe him for that big plane. That stuff was in there. See, now if you'll be honest, that stuff's in there. But God didn't put that stuff in there. Okay? And hey, listen. I've already dug a hole and it's time to quit. Do you understand? Jesus, what God's trying to do now to you is help you locate yourself and locate where you are. Call it a test if you want, but locate where you are. You see, I've been down, and I still get there sometimes. I prayed with a man here not long ago that lived in $1 million house and made more than that every year, and he was broke. See, all broke is spend more than you make. He was just broke on a different level, and I got to think, I thought, well, it'd be nice to be broke on that level for a while, But really, it wouldn't. Really, it wouldn't. And you understand, this isn't a thing where I'm trying to have more than you, or I'm trying to have as much as somebody. No, this is a thing where I walk with God. Are you with me? I just walk with God, and I believe God cares about every aspect of my life. And so when I come in here like this and I do something, and if it shakes your thinking, good, let it be shaken. Amen. And then just go, okay, Holy Spirit, what do we do with that? And watch it. He I've already blown that. We'll have another part sometime. When he told me that, he said, you think I'm going to run out?
Amen.
I said, well, now that you say it that way, no. He said, well, can I tell you something else? And I said, yes, sir, you can tell me anything you want. He said, all that wealth is still here on the earth. None of it ever left.
Amen.
And I went, yeah. Now, you see, I was believing then. I was in a rut, and I was, you know, worrying about church finances, and I was worrying about my finances, and I was, you know, I could see where more was going out than was coming in, and I was trying to get over in that natural way of thinking. And God just tested me. He just located me. He helped me locate myself, and he said, none of it's ever left. He said, matter of fact, he said, if you really want to know the truth, I put enough wealth in this earth that every one of my kids can live like Solomon.
Amen.
There's enough.
Amen.
Well, I'm not there, are you? But so you know, we're all in the same boat. But the whole thing was, he said, what are you believing for? I said, well, you know, I'm believing, like I said. And he said, yeah, but what are you believing me for? And I got to think about it. I thought, well, I'm not trying to challenge you anything. I'm not using my faith to challenge you with anything. So I started working on that. Now I'm believing for things. I'm believing for God to do big things. I'm believing for Him first to do big things spiritually. I'm believing for Him to do big things in our church. I'm believing Him to do big things in your life. Oh, because see, I want something to happen to you today that blows you away.
Amen.
I mean, it might not be in here. I don't care if it's when you're home, when you're driving. I want something. I want God to do something on the inside of you that explodes and just shakes your whole world up.
Amen.
Something that's so big. You know, now I don't have to have $1 million to be happy, and you don't have to. Most of you don't have to have $1 million. Do you understand? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us putting ourselves in a position where we use our faith so God can be all in our life that He wants to be.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Well, he says, I'll not only fill your nets up. He said, but I still got some more after I get your nets all full. Huh? Oh, he wants to get you. He wants to get you out of that hole, but he doesn't want to just get you out of that hole. He wants you to get you out of that hole, and then you look around, there's 12 baskets full.
Amen.
Hmm? See, he doesn't want to meet the need. He wants to exceed the need.
Amen.
El Shaddai.
Amen.
The God that's more than enough.
Amen.
El Shaddai. The God that wants to bless you and has the power to bless you. Abundantly. El Shaddai, the breastly one, the one that wants to nourish you and keep you and feed you and bless you abundantly and be more than you ever dreamed. El Shaddai.
Amen.
Well, gosh, I had some good stuff to tell you too. I just want God to do something. I'm going to close with a verse here, I think. Maybe. Tell you a story. It's back around the turn of the century. And I know some of you have probably heard this story. I've heard two or three tell it different ways. But back around the turn of the century, around the 1900s, immigrants were coming into New York City, going to Ellis Island. They were coming in by the thousands. The dream of people all over the world was, let's go to the land of milk and honey. Let's go to the United States. Let's go where we can be anything we want to be. That was the dream of most of the people in the world, to get here. And they were coming in by the boats full. And there was a man that wanted to come and bring his family. And he worked and worked and worked and saved money to buy passage to get here. And he worked and worked and worked. And after several years, he had saved up enough, but he only had enough to get himself here. And so he told his family, he said, I'm gonna go ahead and get a ticket. I'm gonna go to America, the land of milk and honey, the land worth God's blessing. I'm gonna go over there and I'm gonna work and I'm gonna save money and I'll be able to send money to you so you can buy a ticket to get over here. Now, that's a hard thing to do, to lose his family, but that's how much he wanted the dream. That's how much he wanted to better himself. That's how much he wanted to accomplish, you know, to get here. And so he gathered up. He just had enough money, barely enough money for the boat ticket. And so he gathered up a sack, and he put lots of bread and food in it, cheese and bread and things that wouldn't perish all to eat on his way, because he didn't have enough money to buy food. And so they're on the ship, and it took several weeks to get here, but he would walk by the dining hall, and he would look in there, and people would be sitting at the tables, and they were just eating stuff, and man, just beautiful foods, things that he had never even seen, kinds of food and hors d'oeuvres and things that he'd just never seen. And he'd go back to his little cranny there, and he'd eat some of his bread and some of his cheese, some of the things that he'd taken. And day after day, he'd walk by the dining hall, and he'd look in there, and he'd see all this food, and he'd go, "Oh, wow," you know. He said, "But I'm going to America. I'm going to go to America, and someday, I'll have the money." He'd go back, break his bread. Got to the end of the cruise, and they're parked, and they've landed in New York City, and the man comes, and one of the stewards is standing there as the people are getting off the boat, and he looks at him. He said, "Sir," he said, I've never seen you all these 2 or 3 weeks we've been on this boat. I've never seen you." He said, "You've never been in the dining hall. Who are you?" And talked to him a little bit. And he said, "You've never been at one of the meals or anything. I've never got to see you." And he said, "Well, sir," he said, "just to tell you the truth," he said, I saved and scraped, and he said, all I could come up with was money just enough for the ticket. He said, "I didn't have enough for food, too." He said, "So I brought my little bag, and I've been eating my bread and my cheese and my things I brought, and I've been eating them." But I said, "Hey," that's all right, because I'm in America. And the steward looked at him and said, "Sir, didn't you know that this trip was all-inclusive? Didn't you know that all your meals were included in the price of the ticket? They all made it to America." He made it, but it just made me think. We haven't even begun to get a glimpse of what all was paid for in the price of the ticket. Amen. Yeah, we're going to all get to heaven. Oh, but you know, we can enjoy the ride, the trip a lot more. Amen. If we just see what Jesus did for us. Amen. See, what am I saying here? Am I saying something? I'm saying something. If you're smart, you'll let the Holy Spirit challenge your faith. Amen. And it doesn't matter where you are or where you think you are. You just say, "Holy Spirit, I want you to take me to the next step. Don't worry 5 or 6 steps down the line. I just want to go to the next step." See, there was a time in my life whenever the next step was just having enough to eat. There was a time in my life when the next step was just having enough to pay my bills. How many ever had too much month at the end of the money? See, and we've all been there. But God says, "Hey, won't you come give me a chance to do something in your life? Give me a chance." He says in Ephesians 20, he says, "Give glory to him, the one that wants to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or think." He says here, he says, "In that day, you will know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, it's he who, that's the one that loves me. And the one that loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." Amen. You say, "Well, Hank, I don't know how to even start on all that stuff. And maybe you've been saved for years and years. And, you know, I don't even know where to start." Hey, you know where you start? You start by going after God. You start by going after him with all your heart. He says, "If you just live for me, Greg, if you just live for me." Yeah, but what if I don't get it all right? That's good. Then I can be stronger. The weaker you are, the stronger I can be. Amen. Well, but I don't know enough. I don't know. That's okay. Do what you know to do, and then let him add to it. Because the biggest blessing that you can imagine, your wildest dream, your wildest imaginations, He wants to give that to you, and then He wants to give you a little bit more. And if you start off wanting Him and wanting His presence, that's how Solomon started. He said, Solomon, you can have anything you want. And he said, God, I want you. I want you. He said, because you asked for the right thing, just hang on, baby, because I'm taking you on a little trip. I'm asking Him to take everybody who will. Everybody who will. Everybody who wants to. Take you on a little trip that only He can take you on. We're getting ready to hear about some explosions in some lives right in this place. Some of you have had an idea about a business. Some of you have had an idea about a job. Some of you have had an idea about this or about that. Listen, you keep cultivating that and keep doing all you know to do. And then one time you turn around and you look, ooh, how'd all this happen? You did this in spite of me, Lord. You did this anyway. I didn't cross all my T's. I didn't get all my I's dotted, but you did it anyway. That's how much you love me. Well, I'm done. Everybody stand. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go so long there. 3 minutes over. Will y'all forgive me for being 3 minutes over? Everybody in here, if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord, we want you to today. So we're going to sing a song. And if you need to receive Jesus as your Lord, come on down. Let us pray with you. And we'll pray with you. And I believe if you ask Him into your heart, I believe He'll come. Maybe you're here and you want to be baptized. I think we already heard about some getting baptized. But if you're here and you want to be baptized, you've been saved, you want to be baptized, we want to do that today. If you're here and you need healing, we probably even got some folks that will come over here and anoint you with oil, and they'll pray the prayer of faith, and you'll be healed. Okay, now don't just take that as a grain of salt. If you need healing, say, God, I receive my healing right now. A few months ago, I said something. I said, I didn't think about it. It just came, and I said, I curse every cancer cell, and I had two people come up to me that had skin cancer, and God cured it. And one man was standing, and he said, look, right here's where it was, right here's where it was, right here's where it was. This was just the next week. So there's a God that wants to take care of everything you need, and then He's got some excess for you too. So He's not going to run out. So you need some healing, you need some help, you need some touch, you need some of His presence. He's got it for you. Is that okay? Everybody say, Jesus, come into my heart. Save me right now. I want to live for you. I need your help. If you said that maybe for the first time, didn't you? Come down and let us pray with you anyway. We want to give you a little book here. If you need to come, come. We're going to sing one verse. Is enough for me. Is He enough for you? Enough for me. Everything I need. Everything I need. And follow Jesus. Turning back. No turning back. Have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Have you decided to follow Jesus?
Yes.
How many? Two of us, have you decided to follow Jesus?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. How many are glad you serve a big God?
Amen.
A good God. I'm believing God to open something up in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. And so right now I'm going to speak His fullness into you. And I'm believing for a light to come on inside of you like only He can turn on. And I speak His abundance into your life. If you're having trouble in that marriage, I speak His abundance into your life in that area. If you're having trouble in your health, I speak His abundance. By His stripes, you're healed. I speak that into your life. If you're having just any kind of mental problems, any kind of discouragement, I speak His joy and His presence into your life. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. I believe Him to do something in your life beyond anything you've ever dreamed or imagined. I believe Him to do something, and when He does, you will know. You will give Him praise. You will give Him glory. You will give Him honor. I speak His fullness into you. You go this week, you walk in His favor, you walk in His anointing. Everything your hand touches will work for your good. God's going to open doors. He's going to give you ideas. He's going to show you things. That problem that you thought was so big, that problem that you don't know what to do, He's going to show you the way. And by the time He's done, it'll vanish. It'll just vanish like a vapor. And Father, we give You praise and glory for that. Thank You for blessing us. Thank You, Jesus. Love You. That's all I got. Tell somebody around you you love them. Hug their neck if they'll let you. If not, shake their hand. You have a blessed week. We will be here tonight at 6 over there. If you want to come, I think you'll get blessed over there too. If you're a first timer, I'd love to shake you.